And this morning, I got to tell you just a quick little story, and then I'm going to have you welcome our very special guest. You guys know that just 2 weeks ago, we started a series on miracles. We came out of a series on faith, and I was praying, Lord, what to do? What is next? And I felt like the Lord said, share on miracles, the miracles of Jesus. A couple of years ago, I was with my dear friend Lee Schnabel. Lee lives in the Salem, Oregon area. And he has been a missionary for many, many years to Latin America, to Chile, and to Guatemala and other places. And Lee and I traveled to El Salvador a few years ago and did a pastor's conference there. And Lee began to tell me about how God was really ministering powerfully in his heart and his life through the ministries of Randy Clark and Bill Johnson and healing. And I'd invited him and told him, man, I can't wait for one day for you to be able to come and share on those things. And if you remember, 2 weeks ago when we started the miracles series, we showed a little tape, right? A little video about the lady who was on her tippy toes, and she could tippy toe now because she didn't used to have tippy toes, toes to tippy on. And that miracle came out of some time in Ozark, Missouri with Randy Johnson and, Randy Clark and Bill Johnson. And then it was just the funniest thing, right? Lee texts me the other day, and his dear uncle went to be with the Lord. His family's from Kentucky. And he said, I'm going to be in Saturday night if you would, in any chance, want me to minister. And I said, oh, Lee, what a great time right now to believe for miracles and to talk about healing and to welcome what God wants to do in our midst. Amen?
Amen.
So can you give a good new song welcome this morning to our Harvest Project partner and friend, Lee Schnabel, as he comes.
Thank you.
Lee, take us where you feel led to take us this
Amen.
Morning. We
Thank
are
you.
Ready.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. It's so good to be back in Kentucky. I got to tell a little bit of the story of my family history. My grandfather is the sole survivor of a shipwreck off the coast of Massachusetts in the late 1600s. Cabin boy. Floated 2 miles into the land and survived. Became an indentured servant because he had no money. Wasn't planning on the ship going down. And he killed a mountain lion or whatever they have up there in the Northeast. And because of that, the guy that he was working for kept the bounty and gave it to him later. And with that, he bought land. And then with that land, he was able to begin to prosper. The cool thing is that his son, whose name was Nathaniel, and his grandson, Buriah, both fought against the British in Lexington and Concord. I was there 3 years ago and saw Buriah's headstone in a military cemetery. It says First Line Lexington on it. And so because of that, we got a land grant, the family did, on the Ohio River in what is today Carroll County, Kentucky. So like Kentucky goes way back for me. Hallelujah, amen. Yeah, let's give the Lord a clap offering, amen. Thank you, Jesus. So I feel like I'm kind of home when I come back here and get to visit my family, and not the greatest circumstances this time, but I'm really thrilled to be with you guys because I really did want to come at least to give a little report about what God's been doing in Latin America. And thank you for your monthly support that allows us to do what we do. We just took a team to Guatemala, and between Guatemalans and North Americans, we had some Hispanic pastors from the States with us, and also gringos, as we call them. And between interpreters and gringos, we had 27 people on our team. And in 9 days, we saw over 1,100 healings. 71 salvations, and here's a really cool thing before we give the clap offering for the Lord. 78 people, we would go door to door in some towns, and the 78 people said, yes, I'd like to have a Bible study in my home so that we can disciple the new believers. So let's just give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Now, to give you a little bit of perspective, I only preached in two churches. We had 32 churches that were working with us. Five of them were not Foursquare. And by the way, I'm writing a book on the life of our, not the life, but the ministry of our founder, Amy Semple McPherson. And we are a very interdenominational organization. From the very beginning, Mrs. McPherson would go to a city, hold a crusade, and the platform would be covered with mostly non-Pentecostal pastors that were interested in finding out about the gifts of the Spirit. So we've always had, if you go to our central church in Los Angeles, it says dedicated to interdenominational and worldwide evangelism. So we were really blessed that five churches that weren't Foursquare participated with us, but the really cool miracle was the first time the Guatemalan Foursquare Church had ever opened any type of ministry to other organizations. So that, to me, was a real breakthrough for us. And so thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity. And thank you guys for being part of the support team back home that allows us to do these things. I'll actually be in Nicaragua in September doing a seminar on micro churches, or we use them, our faith communities. And so it'll be a way of a discipling program to help the Nicaraguans with people that are coming to the Lord. So we really carry and celebrate your pastor's long-term commitment to Nicaragua. I mean, this is, I was just telling him on the way, and you're a doer, you're not a supporter. And you guys are really blessed to be in a congregation where we just don't talk about missions. People go to Mongolia. I mean, this is the first time I've been in a service where somebody's going to Mongolia. I didn't even know what the capital of Mongolia was. I mean, anybody else know the capital of Mongolia? So thank you, Neil and Juanita, for going for 5 weeks. I'm sure it'll be an awesome when you get back. But this morning I'm in Mark chapter 10, and I want to talk about reckless faith that produces healing from Jesus. And so we know that Jesus is the healer, it's not us. But part of the challenge for healing is that we have faith, because there's something about the way God works is that he works through our faith in him doing miraculous signs and wonders. And so if you'll open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, I want to read verses 46 through 52. And I got to get it out there. You know, we live in fear of all these Kentucky basketball teams back in the West Coast. So let's just say, can we be honest, okay? So that is the other side of being here, that people will ask me, you went to Kentucky, and yeah, and they are as tough as they say they are out there. And so I went to a UK game. I know there's some Louisville fans here, but Cardinals. But I went to a UK game with my uncle about 10 years ago, and I think you guys were like number one at that time. And we're in the seats where, like, the, you know, what are they called, the season ticket holders, and everybody was kind of dour, and I was like, you're winning by 10 points, and I'm like going, my uncle Jerry Oak, and I says, Uncle Jerry, what's everybody so upset around here? Well, we're not winning good enough. Oh boy, I've never been in a place like that where you're not winning good enough. But that's what was going on. So may God continue to bless your basketball teams and continue to humble the rest of us. So Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, about blind Bartimaeus. Then they came to, I'm reading in the NIV, then they came to Jericho, and Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Everybody say, your faith has healed you.
Your faith has healed you.
Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Now, if I were to take a poll this morning, how many of you believe that Jesus wants to heal you? And everybody would raise their hand, right? How many believe that Jesus wants to heal you of whatever physical problem you have? How many believe that, all right? So if we're really honest with ourselves, the big question is, how many of us believe that Jesus wants to heal us right now? And that's where the role of testimonies comes in. Revelations chapter 19, verse 10 says that the testimony, or the witness of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. And the idea between testimonies and prophecy is that a testimony basically gives us faith to believe what Jesus has done in the past, he'll do in the present and also in the future. So we read all these tales, all these, and I'm tailing a good word, all these stories about Jesus healing people 2,000 years ago, and we go, hey, you know what? Jesus can heal people today. One of the things that I've discovered, and I want to tell you the story, is I was in, my wife and I were, we were missionaries in Chile from 1980, what was it? 2008, excuse me, 2008 to 2015, 7 years we were there. And in the first full year, 2009 that we were there, I was in the Atacama Desert, which is the driest desert in the world, by the way. To give you an idea what Chile's geography is like, think of Oregon and Washington in the south and Arizona and New Mexico to the north. That's the geography of Chile. Deserts to the north, pine forest to the south. And so I'm up in the Atacama Desert at 17,000 feet. My wife and I went from sea level to a port city all the way up to 17,000 feet in a few hours. Don't ever do that. It's not a very smart thing to do because altitude sickness is a problem. And so my wife was getting paler and paler as we're going up. And we stopped at this little village. And up until this point, I've probably been in ministry maybe 25 years. And maybe seen, you know, a few dozen healings, just sporadic stuff, though. And there's this little guy named Tomas, and he's blind in his left eye. And so I had been, you know, pursuing healing from a long time ago, from almost the very beginning of my ministry. I thought, Lord, you know, I've seen God do healings, and I just, something that I always felt like God wanted everybody to do. So one of the things I've learned is just say, Holy Spirit, how do you want me to pray? And sometimes I say that out loud, sometimes I say it in my head. And so I was with this couple. They had this ministry to these indigenous people in these Andes mountains, which is really high. And Renee was the husband's name. And I said, Renee, well, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to show us how to pray. So I heard in my head, command the eye to be healed. So I said, Renee, I'm hearing, command the eye to be healed. And so he goes, in Jesus' name, I be healed. And I'll never forget this as long as I live. So we had Tomas covering his good eye, and he looks at me and he says, Pastor Lee, I can see your white shirt with my blind left eye. And it was like all of a sudden this like switch went off, like, wow, a blind eye. And we prayed one more time, completely healed. And it literally was like a switch went off. And so from that point forward, instead of maybe a sporadic healings, we might see 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 healings in a service where I might not see that for like 5 years. And that was 2000, and actually I guess it was December of 2008, not 2000, I said December 2008. Here's a picture of Tomas, and his wife's name is Cruz. Now, by the way, when you're at 17,000 feet, it's real, the amount of UV rays that are hitting you is astronomical. They should all be wearing sunglasses up there to protect their eyes, but they don't. And Tomas was most likely in his 90s because his parents were alive during the war between Bolivia and Peru and Chile in the late 1890s. And so he was old. But and there again, you know, you in your mind you go, well, you know, would I heal a guy in his 90s that he's probably home with the Lord by now? And doesn't matter, God will heal anybody because God is all about healing and showing his mercy and showing his love. So that's his wife, Cruz, and she's covered over. You can barely see her face right there outlined, but there's my friend, Renee. And so it was a life-changing experience for me. And about, so this is December. In February, I was in another city in northern Chile in a service, and so the Lord said, we were there to do some building projects because one of these churches had been damaged in an earthquake. And so the pastor says, God's been using Pastor Lee lately in healing, and how many of you are sick today? And like 25 people stood up, and they're like ready to come forward. And I'm like going, oh no, 25 people, because it was 10:30 at night, and I wanted to go to bed. Confessions of a very carnal missionary pastor. I mean, now you may have to second thoughts about should we be supporting this guy or not? Come on, give me a break. It's 10:30. Get over it. And but the Chileans, start their services at 8 and they go to 11 o'clock at night on a weeknight, no big deal. And I'm like, wow. So I wanted to go home and get to bed. But so I said, Pastor Victor, that was the name of the pastor, I said, let's just ask the Lord what he wants to do. And I got three words of knowledge. One was schizophrenia, the other one was diabetes, and the third one was blind left eye. Actually, I was more comfortable with blind left eye than the other two, so I said, okay, anybody with a blind left eye? And this woman raises her hand. Her name was Maria. And I said, so I had all, and actually three people came forward. It's diabetes, woman, one had diabetes, other had problems with schizophrenia, and then Maria with the blind left eye. And so I said, let's just ask the Lord to show me how to pray for you, Maria. So we all, everybody extends their hands, and Holy Spirit, you know, speak, and I'm hearing command. The first thing I heard was trauma at 6 years. And I said, Maria, did you have any traumas when you were 6 years old? And she just started crying. And I just said, wait a minute, time out. Can a couple ladies go pray for Maria privately? Because one of the things that I learned is that God wants to protect our dignity. God's not about embarrassing anybody, although he doesn't mind embarrassing me. Truly, I don't think he does. I think he likes to embarrass me sometimes. But I'm okay with it now. Before, I used to get really nervous about being embarrassed. But he really does want to protect our dignity when it comes to past traumas and things like that. So two female pastors, went out and prayed for Maria. She comes back in. And now here's the interesting thing. Think about this, man. So she has a trauma at 6, and it's affecting her vision somehow. So she comes back in. I can see her face has changed. I said, Maria, this is from the platform. Maria, what's going on? She goes, I'm beginning to see with my left eye. And I thought, well, come on up here. Now, I did pray for the other two ladies. One felt a heat come into her body. We prayed for the diabetes. And I said, don't stop taking your insulin until a doctor confirms that you're healed. We don't check our brains at the door. Amen. We thank God for doctors and modern medicine. And sometimes there's a partnership between modern medicine and praying in faith. So let's get that right out there. And the other person that had schizophrenia, I felt like the Lord said the pastor and his wife can counsel you. And so that's what happened with her. She got counseling later. But Maria comes up and I lay hands on her and like, okay, Lord, once again, how should I pray? And I hear, command the eye to be healed. No, it's command the eye. Don't ask the Lord. It's command the eye because we have authority to pray in the name of Jesus. So if there's nothing you get out of this morning, here's one key to having a consistent experience with healing. It's short prayers and with authority. Don't need to pray really long. Just pray. If you look at all the prayers that Jesus prayed, they were one or two or three or four words. They weren't very many. And then you test. Pray and test. So prayed, we prayed, and I said, cover your good eye. In Jesus' name, I be healed. And I said, okay, what's going? And she looks up, and she goes, I can see 23% better. Now, can I just tell you what's going on in my head? How does she know it's 23% better? My head is spinning inside. I'm going, is she an ophthalmologist? What is this woman, you know? Give me a break. And she said, no, it's 23%. I go, okay, 23%. You know, and I just kind of go along with it, you know, like I don't know what to do. And so pray again. Everybody extend your hands, cover your good eye. In the name of Jesus, I be healed. And I'm better 85%. Now, once again, my head's still spinning because we went from 23 to 85. How does she know it's 85? But that's what she says. It's 85%. And so we pray one more time. And cover your good eye. We pray in Jesus' name. I be healed. And she says, I said, okay. And at that time, I don't use a watch anymore because of these things. So I pulled out my watch and I said, okay, with your blind eye, what time is it? And she says, it's 10:30. And the whole room went silent because we were all shocked that Jesus had showed up on a Tuesday night in Tocopilla, Chile, and healed this woman's eye. Amen. Can I get give Lord a clap offering? Thank you, Lord. Now, the same Jesus that was in Tocopilla, Chile in February of 2009, it's the same Jesus that's here today. Okay? And so I want to talk a little bit about Bartimaeus, and then I want to tell you some stories, and then we're going to pray for the sick, okay? But you're going to be doing all the praying, most of it. I'm available to pray. One of the cool things about our trip to Guatemala, we had, out of the 1,100 healings that occurred, at least 80 or 90% were done by the people that we trained to pray for the healing, not by us. I actually only preached in two services out of the 32, and there was about 11 healings one night. I didn't pray for a single person, and there was a dozen healings another night, and I prayed for two or three people at the end. One woman had cataracts. She got healed, but basically, most of it was done by the people we trained, and my theory is God likes to give newcomers an amazing experience so you'll keep doing it. So fasten your seatbelts. Some of you may see some amazing miracles happen today through your ministry. Amen. Because we're called to equip you for the work of ministry. We're player coaches on this spiritual basketball team. Amen. Can I get an amen for that? All right. So go ahead and the next slide, Glenn. So in Mark chapter 10, verse 47, what's the first thing that Bartimaeus is saying? He's saying, Jesus, son of David. Right away, he's declaring that Jesus is the Messiah, and he's, no matter what, and the people are telling him to shut up. So what a great picture of the world today. Nobody wants us to talk about miracles. Now, I don't know about you, but I came from a very logical, rational, cessationist church background. We just, if you couldn't understand it, it can't be God. And so our understanding of truth is it always has to be understood to be true. Now, I'm not saying, once again, we check our brains to the door, but there are things that God does that we just don't always understand. And we were in an earthquake, 8.0, in Chile. Actually, it was the fifth strongest earthquake in history at 8.8 at the epicenter. Hit us at 8.0 in Santiago. And I had this funny thing called PTSD going on afterwards. Because I was in a building 14 stories high, 2.5 minutes of shaking, everything slows down, it seems like 20 minutes to me, and I was struggling with feelings at night in bed of my bed moving like it did the night we had, or the morning, I should say, it's 3 a.m., that we had the earthquake. And this friend, Kim Wassen from Louisiana, who'd been through Katrina, and he lives close to home, and they've been through all kinds of hurricane issues, God has a ministry in him of healing, and healing emotionally. He just prayed for me, and it was gone. I mean, I quit having episodes. I was having episodes two or three times a week, and it went to two or three times a year, and then the following year, I haven't had an episode probably in 5 years. But just somebody prayed for me, and boom, the Lord healed me emotionally. And so I can testify to the power of God to heal us from emotional issues because I've been there. Now, so he declares that Jesus is the Messiah over the, I call the cruelty of the crowd. Why would you tell somebody, shut up? What are you trying to, what's the point of that? I mean, to deny that Jesus still heals today is like telling millions of people around the world that, you know, you really can't get healed by God. You get healed, all these other demons, you know, in other parts of the world, which is what people do, they worship demons to get healed. And they go to shamans and witch doctors and all kinds of things like that. And by the way, sometimes they actually get healed. But the problem is demonic forces coming into them that are replacing other demonic forces, and they're in actually a worse state than they were before. But we have a God that's loving and merciful. He wants to heal everybody. So he declared the divinity over the cruelty of the crowd. Mark chapter 10, verse 47. Go ahead and go to the next slide, Glenn. So here's the part that I really like. When they said, the master is calling you, the Lord is calling you, what does Bartimaeus do? He grabs his overcoat, and he throws it away. Now think about the overcoat for a minute, what it really signifies. It's what's keeping him warm at night when he's sleeping out on the streets. It's also the thing he spreads out on the side of the road that people are going to throw coins on. So there's his means of income that he's tossing away, and there's his means of security for just staying warm at night. He's basically burning a bridge. And it's a great demonstration of being just desperate. That I don't care what people think, but my past life is over. And I just want to invite you to consider today thinking, you know what? What do I have to lose to pray and believe that God will heal people through me? Now, turn to the person next to you and tell them, Jesus can heal through you. Amen. Jesus can heal through you and through you. And so he denounces his past way of living, Mark chapter 10, verse 50. And I just love that so much because, once again, I'm not going backwards. I'm going to go forward. Now, one of the things that I could tell you about learning to pray for the sick is you just have to get out on the football field and play ball to learn how to really do well, or basketball court to do well. You just have to get out there and do it. And honestly, the way you spell faith, this is John Wimber's quote, is R-I-S-K, risk. You just have to take risks. It's never going to be something that's so clear, so like, wow, I just know this. Now, what I've found over time is God likes to build our faith. He understands that we're kind of slow. Trust me, I'm really slow. And God just kind of comes alongside of us and say, okay, I'm going to give you this so that you can do this. Now, I would say many, many times that I'll go to a church or someplace, something new will happen. There'll be some twist, be some kind of like, wow, I've never seen that before. And that tends to be the thing I remember the most. I was down in Louisiana, Houma, a few years ago, and this guy got up and we prayed for him. And it was a whole group of people in front. There was, you know, praying over multiple people. He had lost his ability to taste. And anytime he would drink like a soda, it tastes like turpentine. Can you imagine having a soda or Coke or something and it's like turpentine on your tongue? And that's what his testimony, I've got him on video, I should have brought this. He says, I just want to testify to Jesus' healing power. Healed my taste buds, and he drinks a can of Coke. He says, doesn't taste like turpentine anymore. It's like, hallelujah, you know? And so a great commercial for Coke, right? But anyway, so he denounced his past wavelength. Go ahead to the third one there. And so he decreed his desired change. What did he want? He says, I want to see. Rabbi, I want to see. And I think it's really important that we say to the Lord, Lord, I want to see, or I want to be healed. We say exactly what we're believing God to do. Now, I want to show a videotape that happened 2 years ago in Guatemala. We took a team down there. We had on this team, only 14 people. And we were in this little town called Chahul. And at that time, because of COVID, we couldn't go. The mayor would not let us go door to door because of fear of spreading COVID. And a bunch of gringos coming in town spreading COVID would not be good. And so we just told everybody at the church, bring people that are sick to the church building. So that's how we kind of got around the mayor's ruling. And this couple brought this little girl that came in literally screaming and ranting and raving and just completely out of control. And she's about 10 years old. Her name is Naomi. And two of the people on our team were praying for her. And they actually thought that there was a demon problem, that she was being tormented by a demon. So they're trying to cast a demon out of her, and you know, nothing's quite going right. And so they come over to me. I was praying for a little boy. Say, hey, can you pray for us, help us pray for this girl? And I said, sure. So going back to my standard MO, Holy Spirit, show me how to pray. And I heard the word in Spanish, autism, or in Spanish, autismo, is what came into my mind. So I said to this little girl, I said, autism be healed in Jesus' name. She had never talked to her parents in 10 years, never answered them, never communicated with them. She would just grunt, she would scream, out of control. And so she looks at me and she goes, hola, hello. And I mean, we are all in shock. And I said, mi nombre es Leo, because I go with Leo as my Spanish name, Leo, and she goes, Leo. And then my friend Hugo, who's a Colombian, he goes, Hugo, and she goes, Hugo. Now think about a non-communicative autistic child for the first time speaking. And so we went on, and then we gave all these kids toys and candy and stuff like that, and it was a really cool time. So I'm now, this is the thing, I don't like ministering healing and then pulling out my, hey, can I get a videotape of your daughter, you know? So I waited for a long time, and I thought, well, as they're leaving, I'll at least go videotape her so people can see the miracle, this child communicating. So this is Naomi in a little taxi, they call them tuk-tuks, and this is Naomi speaking. So go ahead, Glenn, turn on the video.
Hasta luego, nos vemos.
Mira.
Que Dios te bendiga.
Hola.
Hola.
Sí, she's singing hola.
Okay. Nos vemos.
What?
So she's beginning to understand what I'm saying. And then her little brother waves goodbye. On cue, of course.
Hasta luego.
We had a person with a cue card. Raise your hand, say goodbye. And there she is. So let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen.
Hasta luego.
Hasta luego. So that was Naomi's story, an impossible situation. You know, that the Lord could come in and touch her and begin. Now, I can't say how healed was she. I have no idea. But you can tell that she's beginning to communicate for the first time in 10 years. Never been able to speak. And so I really believe the Lord wants to take impossible situations. My wife had a car accident in 1986, March 29th, 1986, in Guatemala, broke her leg in six places. We were in a service at the Reading Civic Center. Bill Johnson had a word of knowledge. God wants to heal old wounds right now. And boom, my wife stands up, and this African-American pastor from San Diego and this other woman, both women, another woman from Illinois, prayed for her, and instantly my wife was healed. And her leg, she'd always had this limp, and her foot was not able to balance itself well. And boom, right, and she runs up to the platform, and was testifying to 2,000 people, God healed me of a 37-year-old injury. And so God is all about, amen, let's give the Lord a clap. The Lord is all about taking old things, impossible things. I think we just accept, oh, I've got this problem, and I'm going to live with it the rest of our life. When that isn't the case, we got to give Jesus a chance to come in and do what he wants to do. Amen? So I want to show you another video. This is, I think, Lyndon, right? Glenn is the next one. So this, we did a healing seminar in Nicaragua last year. I think it was last year. And COVID totally messes my time frame up. So there was a YMAM team down at the facility there. And so a bunch of Nicaraguans prayed for Lyndon, is his name. He's from Minnesota. And he had been deaf in one ear, so I'll let him tell his story. But it was the first healing the Nicaraguans saw that was pretty significant during our healing seminar. So go ahead and, Glenn, show this one with Lyndon.
One, two, three, go. Hi, my name is Lyndon Loveness. I'm a 60-year-old male from rural Minnesota. For my entire life, I have suffered from hearing loss in my right ear due to ear infections, some damage I've done on the farm. Last night, I'm here in Culiacan, Sandino, Nicaragua, at a healing conference. And the Lord brought into a team of people for prayer team for me and my faith. I've been healed, and I give God all the glory for that. If it wasn't for my faith and wanting to be healed, I wouldn't be healed. But I put all my trust in him, and I said, heal me, and he did. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So what was cool about this was it was the Nicaraguans praying for him. It wasn't myself or my friend Raul, who's from Panama. We were training them on how to do it and breaking some what I would consider bad habits. One of those was they get on and they pray. They'll pray for 2 or 3 minutes thinking that the more I pray, the more power is going to come in. And it just isn't true. There's no relationship between time spent in prayer and the manifestation of the Spirit. Amen? And so that was really cool that Lyndon got healed. It was through them. The next one was, I think it's Sylvia the next one, Glenn? Well, actually Kent, isn't it? Kent. So July of 2019, we're doing healing service at our church in Albany, Oregon. And my wife is kind of on staff at my son's church. He's a Foursquare pastor in a place called Sweet Home, Oregon. But we're also part of the Albany Church, which is officially our sending church as missionaries. So I go back and forth. My wife spends most of her time at my son's church. But we were doing a healing service, and this guy comes up, you know, in the church. He has the white cane that blind people have, and he says, "Would you pray for my sight?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" So I was with two other people, and we just prayed about 4 or 5 times. And each time we prayed, he was getting better. Now, one of the things that I've determined that once there's a manifestation, then it's like we keep going. We ride that horse till it's done running. done galloping because you don't want to stop. And that was the same case. Each time we prayed, the vision was getting better and better and better. And so here's Kent's story, and I'll let him. This is, we videotaped him right after the healing occurred. So go ahead and show Kent. They're bringing it up. Is it going to come? There he is.
At Valley Christian Center, Albany, Oregon, and had been legally blind for 4 years. Had little to no sight in the right eye, about less than 3%. The left eye I had approximately maybe 10%, not sure. Regardless of that, God has healed me today. God has changed my sight to where I can see. I can see approximately 98% in the right eye that was essentially had no sight. The left eye had the percentage that I mentioned and is at 98%. I'm very happy, very pleased with how God has used this team today to change my life and my family's life as I work and I live more abundantly through Jesus, through the teams being allowed to be used by Jesus. Thanks so much.
Amen. Give the Lord a clap. Amen. So, within 3 days, it was 98%. It was 100% within 3 days. And he went back to the ophthalmologist, who was the chief ophthalmologist of an eye clinic. And he just kind of went in and kind of baited her a little bit. He said, "Doctor, can I just get another checkup for my eyes just to see where I'm at?" And she, all of a sudden, he's like 20/20 on the left eye, and she's like, "What?" She's going through her papers, like, you know, because she's now nervous that I misdiagnosed this guy. And all the previous records show that, no, you didn't. Checks the other eye, 20/20. And so she says, "Well, I have to go check with some of my other, you know, associates." And she's the one in charge, by the way. And she walks in, and they're like, you know, they're having this little conference over here in this other room, and finally came in, "Well, what happened?" He says, "Well, I got prayed for." And so it's a lovely story because of this, Kent became the director of one of the largest nonprofits. Actually, I live in Eugene, Oregon. If you said Salem, we would not identify with Salem at all, which is the capital of Oregon. When those people up there, we don't identify with them. We're down in Eugene, God's country, University of Oregon, go Ducks. But anyways, I didn't want to interrupt you at the time. But seriously, amazing nonprofits, I think one of the largest in our city that handles people with disabilities. And so in July the 9th, he'll get ordained as a pastor in our church. I'll be there for the ordination. And so it's just a wonderful story. And I if you go on our website, which is capaz.info, capaz.info, there's actually a longer video that I did a year after the healing. It said, "How has your life changed since your eyes were healed?" He says, "Well, one of the big things was I can read to my granddaughters." He had never been able to read stories to them at night. So that was a huge, huge blessing for him. So amazing, amazing testimony. I really think now would be a good time. Just let's start praying for the sick now. Is that okay? Is it okay if we just start the ministry side of this? So I'm going to ask everybody to stand up and form. Let's do it this way. I know. I'm going to throw out some symptoms that people sometimes have. Is there anybody here today that has any problems with like neck pain, ongoing neck pain, or shoulders? Raise your hand. Okay. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. Would say 2 or 3, go keep your hands raised. So neck pain, shoulders, raise your hand. Okay. Would at least 2 people come close to them? And when you have somebody that's going to pray for you, then you lower your hand. Okay. Let's do that. Neck pain and shoulder pain, raise your hand. That's chronic. Okay. That doesn't really go away too often. Okay. Now, so here's what we're going to do. Yeah, that's a good. So we have like five or six groups. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. My friend Paul Rapley, who's an evangelist that travels with us, he uses the illustration. It's a good illustration. If you had a ferocious dog attacking your kids, you're not going to say to that dog, "Now you just kids just move a little way." That dog that's barking at us that may bite your heads off, you know, you just say, "Get out of here." You would scare the dog away. You would speak with authority. And so that's his way of illustration, that we should speak with authority, but at the condition. So what I'm going to do is ask you to invite the Holy Spirit to come on this person and then command that symptom to go away. And then we're just going to test, see what happens, okay? So let's pray. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come upon us right now. I invite you, Lord, to manifest your power today, just as you did in Guatemala, just as you did in Albany, Oregon, and all these other places that I've had the privilege of visiting. Do what you do there, Lord, today here in Louisville, Kentucky, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So go ahead and invite the Holy Spirit to come on the person, and then command that neck or that shoulder to be healed in Jesus' name. Okay? And then ask them what's going on. So pray short prayers with authority, then test. Flip this up. Okay? Okay. So everybody looking up here, how many of you felt the pain in your neck and the pain in your shoulders go away? At least 70%. Raise your hand. 70% change? Okay. 70%? Anybody? Go ahead, move your neck. Okay. Move your shoulders. Test it out. Let's test it. Okay. All right. How many noticed an improvement? Raise your hand. Improvement? Right there, one, two, okay, three. Anybody over here? Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray twice. Jesus prayed for a blind man two times. He said to this man, "How do you see now?" And he says, "I see men like trees." And guess what Jesus did? He prayed a second time. Now, think about it. If Jesus can pray twice for somebody, I'll pray 20 times. Because I believe he wants to heal. Now, so I had a guy come to my house to work in my bathroom real quick who had lost 85%. Now, this was true. He had this diagnosis. 85% loss of vision in one eye from shrapnel that hit his eye while he was in the Vietnam War. First time I prayed, nothing happened. The second time I prayed, 50% improvement. Third time I prayed, he was healed. So we don't trust manifestations. We trust Jesus. And sometimes people will literally just fire. They'll feel heat coming into their bodies. They'll feel cold. They'll feel some type of manifestation. We know that God is doing something. But we don't trust the manifestations, because I prayed for a person. I was telling Pastor Jeff last night, stage 4 cancer, 3 months to live, Santa Rosa, California, like 5 years ago. This woman, we prayed for it. No manifestation. 3 days later, the cancer is gone. And no manifestation. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you can't trust the manifestation. You just pray and trust the Lord. Okay, so let's pray again, second time. And so, and Jesus, speak to the symptom and ask him, where does it hurt? How bad does it hurt? And in Jesus' name, pain be gone in the name of Jesus. Okay? And then test. I need some water. Okay, got my water, I'm ready to go. Okay, we ready to test? How many felt an improvement this time from the last time you got prayed? It even got better, diminished more, or going away? Raise your hand. Okay, so another, yay, we got a person on this side. Okay, anybody else felt an improvement the second from the second prayer? Okay, Any improvement? Just one? Okay, thank you, Lord, for one. Let's give the Lord a clap offering for what we experienced. Okay, so find a partner, preferably not a spouse or somebody you came with. Find a partner that you can pray with, okay? We're going to do another prayer exercise. So go ahead, find a partner that you didn't come with, or somebody that you don't know or never seen before, or don't want to claim to know them, or claim to have seen them. You don't know about their character, that's a joke. Okay? And actually, Pastor Jeff, can you come up here with me? You'll be my demo guy. So I want to just break the ice on the Holy Spirit manifesting through us, okay? So here's what we're going to do. You're going to put your hand, one person will put their hands out like this. The other person's going to put their hands up here like this. And so I'll say to you, would you like to feel or like to encounter the Holy Spirit today? Mm-hmm. And yes. Your answer would be yes.
Yes.
And so I'm just going to say, Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. Come, Holy Spirit, on Pastor Jeff. And so I'm just going to wait. And then I'm going to say, okay, did you feel anything, Pastor Jeff? Are you feeling anything right now after I pray? Come, Holy Spirit, in your hands or in your body.
Yes.
What are you feeling?
Tingling.
Where's the tingling at?
Through my hands and through my torso.
Okay, so tingling in his hands and torso. So that's the Lord giving us a sign that he's touching Pastor Jeff. So then we'll switch it around, then I'll go down here.
Yes.
And then he's going to ask me the same question.
Yes.
Would you like to encounter the Holy Spirit?
Would you like to encounter the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Yes. Holy Spirit, come.
And then you're going to say, come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
And so
come, Holy Spirit.
I'm feeling warmth.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
In my left hand, don't ask me why, and nothing on my right, but my left hand is getting very warm. So that's what we're going to do. So I want you to do that. Would you like to encounter the Holy Spirit? Yes. And the other person, and you say, come, Holy Spirit. And then we're going to do a survey of how many of you experienced something of the Holy Spirit. Because here's what will happen. I'll be in another service, the Lord say, short legs, and they'll watch Juanita's video, and they'll get healed because their faith will be built up. So your testimony will go on and on and on and on, and God will use it to heal people. So that's why if you go on our website, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. And so we want to keep pointing people to Jesus. And sir, your name is?
Byron.
Byron. So Byron's testimony, 25 years of hearing loss, healed today, will also, in another service, someplace else, the Lord say hearing issues, will show Byron's video and people will get healed. So it'll be awesome. Isn't that cool? So let's give the Lord a clap offering. God bless you guys. Thanks again for your support. Come down to Guatemala with us sometimes, and let's keep praying for the sick. Amen. Pastor Jeff?
Amen. Well, can we thank the Lord for the wonderful ministry today? Amen. So, by the way, you know, if you didn't feel the manifestation, it's okay. Continue to trust the Lord, and God can continue to move. Amen.
Can I just say one quick? There, if you're interested in getting on our mailing list, there's sign-up sheets in the back with our, so either snail mail or emails. Either way, we'd love to stay in touch with you and appreciate your prayers.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time together. As we go today, Lord, let your face shine upon us and let your light shine through us to the world around us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. If you get a chance, come up, say hi to Lee. And don't forget to sign up on that mailing list if you'd like. And have a great day. God bless you guys. Amen.